I would like to call the regular meeting of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, to order on Thursday, February 12th, 2026. Time is now 7 p.m. Can you please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Just before we start the roll call, for anybody that's online, I just wanted to let you know that tonight is night to night. We're going to discuss the cameras on the buses. That will be in 2 weeks at the subcommittee. So I just wanted to let everybody know online that that'll be in 2 weeks at subcommittee. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Newberg. Ms. Pettinici.
Here.
Ms. Fidomsky.
Here.
Mr. Kurtica.
Present.
Mr. Santos. Mr. Sill.
Here.
Mr. Chevarella.
Here.
Ms. Falcioni-Smith.
Here.
Mr. Hyder.
Here.
The record should reflect you have 7 members present, so you have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Number 5, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. We do have 2 deletions. We're going to delete number 10, executive session, 2 Factory Street, and number 11, regular session action from executive session. Attorney Bertillo could not be here tonight with us, and he will give us an update in future. Okay. Number 5, public portion. Anybody from the public like to speak? Come on up. State your name and address. Hit the button.
Frederick Pikorowski, 216 Derby Avenue, Derby, Connecticut. First of all, this is from a few months ago. I put a Knox box on our church, and fortunately I was kind of sick that day or not feeling good, so I was home. And I got a call that I had to go down because our fire department did not take the equipment or the truck that had the key to that Knox box. The Knox box was a rather expensive item, and the fact that we only have one key in the city, or that's what I am told, every one of our fire apparatus or vehicles should have that Knox box key, so that they can get into the building or wherever the emergency is. I just find the fact that we only have like 1 or 2 Knox box keys, and that's something in every unit, kind of a disservice to the taxpayers and businesses. Nice work on the white lines around the city. Yellow lines, let's get to them. And of course, I'm going to pitch my usual don't lock the box, because a lot of other cities have them. I'd like to see one in front of the fire stations, especially on Derby Ave or New Haven Ave, wherever that's specifically located, because, you know, the traffic gets a little intense around there. And, you know, sometimes seconds will make a difference in someone surviving a fire or not. Also, I'd like to say thank you to the firemen who sacrificed their time and let everyone know that we've got amazing volunteers. They contained the fire that was at 23 Derby Avenue very well. I don't see too much damage to any other buildings. So hats off to them, because it was freezing. I saw the icicles on the power lines and the telephone lines. And we have a great bunch of people who are really dedicated. And once again, if they need equipment or something else, we should definitely keep in mind that they're volunteers and they deserve our utmost respect. Also, getting back to don't lock the boxes, Derby Avenue and Academy Hill. That's another troublesome intersection where the traffic immersively locks up the intersection and it backs up into Derby Avenue and Division Street sometimes, because people need to take lefts to go up Academy Hill. And so anyway, I'd like to see some of that going on. Let's see. Also, the speed tables, I like that idea. The problem with enforcement cameras and red light cameras is that we're taking public safety and we're turning it into a source of revenue. And what happens, especially with the red light cameras, is, bless you, is that the yellow light is supposed to be on for so many seconds based on the speed approaching that intersection. And I've heard from very credible sources, aka I did know a police commissioner of a much larger city, and a few of his people were talking about how once when compliance and people are not running the red lights, what they will do to get more revenue, because a lot of these cameras are run by private companies, third or third parties, is they will decrease by a half a second how long the red light, the yellow light stays on to increase revenues. And I was listening to a news story about a town on Long Island where the number of rear-end accidents at such lit, with the automated stoplights, red lights, people are starting to get rear-ended more because people are slamming their brakes when they see the yellow, rather than thinking they can comfortably get through it if they were close to the intersection. And of course, if you're far away from the intersection, you're supposed to start braking and slowing down. But people are slamming their brakes because they don't want to get caught. And it's once again because public safety is now a source of revenue. And then also, a few people snickered at some of this, something I said that's kind of a little bit stupid about lending a car out to a friend. But bottom line is, if you've got teenagers, they'll be driving your car. Also, sometimes, all of us are guilty of it. We get stuck in traffic or whatever else, and we need to make up time. So we put, a little extra weight on the gas pedal so we can get to work on time or not be as late as we were supposed to be. Or also, my first wife, she destroyed my credit. As a nice little goodbye present. But I'm sure if there were red light cameras and all that other stuff kicking around and speed cameras, I'm sure she would have rung everything up. So if we're going to have speed cameras, we're going to have red light cameras, let's also get a picture of the driver, not just the plate. Again, like I said, public safety should not be a source of revenue. That's why I favor the speed tables. I've seen them work. We have them in New Haven. We have them in some other communities I go through. And actually, sometimes they're actually fun to watch. I sat and watched one where some person sped like 50 miles an hour, hit the speed table, and man, they flew. So, like I said, it can be a source of comedy as well. But anyway, like I said, here in Derby, we've got to, use our money wisely, use our resources wisely, and again, keep public safety as a public safety issue. And there's one more thing on my mind, but anyway, thanks for listening to me.
All right, thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody else in the public? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Number six, administrative and appointments. 6.1, approval of minutes, no action this month. 6.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve monthly tax refunds in the amount of $20,468.76, dated February 6, 2026. Do I have a motion? Made by Ron. Is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3, no action appointments of boards and commissions, no action this month. Committee reports and recommendations, community relations, no action this month. Property and Development Committee, Amy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 7.2.1, proposed new ordinance. Alternative exemption for Gold Star spouses. Move to adopt the proposed new ordinance entitled Alternative Exemption for Gold Star Spouses, dated February 6, 2026, as recommended by the Property and Development Committee.
Is that in the form of a motion?
Yes, it is.
All right, made by Amy. Is there a second?
Second, Rob.
Second, Rob. Any discussion?
I just had two questions, and I apologize if these have been answered before. I'm just wondering how many people will this help? And then how much would this potentially will this potentially be costing the city?
Sure. Betsy's on, but this is Brian Hall, the finance director. She's on. She provided me these numbers, so Betsy, feel free to jump in. I think right now we're estimating three surviving spouse candidates. Obviously, other folks could potentially show up. But for these three, it's about $700,000 in assessed value, roughly $30,000 in taxes that we would be exempting for this particular one. I'm assuming you're going to also ask about the veterans, so why don't I just answer that question? So today with the veterans, we already exempt their dwelling, but we do not exempt the land. So for the around, we got about 20 or so people that are currently getting it today. We'll add about another 640,000 of assessed land value that would become exempt, roughly $27,000 in taxes. That's for the existing people. This is also going to cover folks that are not 100%, we're not labeled 100% disabled, 100% disabled, but they cannot, they're going to be in like the 80s, the 70, 80, 90%ers. That's right, they're 100% unemployable, I believe is how they're technically going to be classified. So that for that group, if you're 100% unemployable, but maybe you're only 70, 80% disabled, or you've been labeled that way, we're going to now pick those folks up. That's about four individuals, at about $1 million of assessed value and roughly $43,000. Again, they have to still apply and do everything, but that's probably what we're looking at. All in for the two exemptions, call it roughly, $100,000 of taxes, maybe 2.5 million of assessed value. Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions? You have a question?
Wait, so we got to this portion. I just wanted to know whether my name is on that list.
What's your name, sir?
Droz. John Droz.
Yes, sir.
You on there?
Yeah.
Because I've got all the paperwork to back up. I think I am 90%, but I'm evaluated at a.
And you could certainly come in and talk to, but you're on the list, so you can, if there's any issues, whatever, please, just come to City Hall and talk to Brian or Betsy, and they'll take care of you. Yeah, they'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to last year, I've been trying to get it, but because the state did not write the thing up the correct way. That's the reason why I've been fighting.
Yeah, no, we understand. Yeah, we're well aware of that. We understand that. And
they want to see my papers taken.
That's all right.
Can I just elaborate on that, please? The state did not allow these local options to be effective until this October of 2025. There's no retro.
Okay, thank you, Betsy. Any other questions for Brian or Betsy?
On the so Gold Star spouse is there. So my mother was still alive. She's the Gold Star mother. And my father was killed in Vietnam or Laos. So in C here, it says that the application shall include at least two affidavits of a disinterested person showing that the deceased person was performing such act of military duty. That such deceased person was killed in action while performing such act of military duty in the relationship of such deceased person as surviving spouse provided to the assessor. It goes on and on. Well, there's a form. And I don't know if it's a DD-214 or there's something that my father, that I have, that shows that my father was killed in action in Vietnam. It's a form, military form.
You
know, I have that. I have it. So I'm just saying that if the Gold Star spouses, or Gold Star mothers, or they should have that form. It's a military form that proves that the person was killed in a line of duty, like my father. So I don't know where you got the two disinterested parties showing that the
Well,
deceased person is that
I
part
can
of.
answer.
Go ahead, Betsy.
Go ahead.
So the document that comes from the VA does state if the person who is eligible for the exemption was killed in the line of duty.
Right, there's a form, a government form, correct?
It comes to them once a year, but it does state on that benefit form if the person was killed in the line of duty.
So, okay, so things must have changed from 1969 because I only got one form. I got from the military, my mother got it, and my father was killed in action. And there's nothing about every year getting another form. It's just that one form, unless they changed it.
So this form that comes to them is for the person who's the beneficiary of their benefits.
Okay. So that would include what you're saying here, the two affidavits of disinterested persons showing that the deceased person performed such act of military duty? So I
Yes,
could
the
get
person's.
City Clerk Mark Garfalo could say, "Oh yeah, I knew your father. He was killed in Vietnam." I could give you a letter saying that, because
You would have to be the benefit of their military pension.
there is no military pension.
Well, they get paid as if the person is alive.
No, that's not true either. So they
I'd
have
be
a
happy to
pleading.
show you a copy of a form if you'd like to stop in the office.
So there's a VA benefit. They don't get the
Correct.
person pay is a benefit, like a Social Security. You get a benefit every month. It's not the full pay of the individual who was killed in action. Trust me, I know. So I was just a little concerned that we're not saying that there's a form, VA form, or there's nothing here that says that the form would come in from the VA or Department of Defense would say that this person was killed in action, and so that's what I'm saying. So
It does say it on their yearly letter.
on the form that you have?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And if you'd like to stop in, I'm in the office Monday and Wednesday mornings, and I'd be happy to show you what the form looks like.
Okay, how about if you email me it? Scan an email to my city email address. I think that's probably better. I'll get it quicker. Mondays, she can't even.
So just identify. Just tell her who. This is George Kurtica.
No.
Just
Turn it off, George. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, so can you just this is George Kurtica, and you can just send me the form, scan it, and email it to my city address so I can see it. Monday's a holiday, so nobody's going to be here. So this way I could look at the form before our next meeting.
I can do that. I'll have to redact everything, but the line you will see is on that letter.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And just George, this is just for spouses, correct? So spouses only.
Yeah, like
Yeah,
if my
all
mother was
right.
still alive, right?
It would be for minor children if there was not another spouse.
Okay, then. So now that's different. Now, so I'm the only
Minor. You're not a minor,
minor.
George.
Well, I'm not a minor anymore, no, but back in the day, yeah,
Yeah, you have to be
right,
minor.
yeah, okay.
Almost.
Almost.
Specify couple, just a couple years,
Yeah,
George.
that's all.
Wow. You missed it by a pinch.
Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next one in.
7.2.2 proposed new ordinance to add additional veterans' property tax exemptions. Move to adopt the proposed new ordinance entitled Proposed Ordinance to Add Additional Veterans Property Tax Exemptions, dated February 6, 2026, as recommended by the Property and Development Committee.
All right, motion made
That
by
is in the form of a motion.
Amy. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, George. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. 7.3, Finance and Public Safety Committee. There was no action. 8, new business. 8.2, removal of snow on sidewalks. Update to section 172-3 of the city ordinances. Move to approve the update to the sidewalk ordinance section 172-3 regarding penalties for not removing snow after a storm dated February 6, 2026. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Made by George. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ron. Any discussion?
Bottom deck.
Yes. Yes.
And who was enforcing this? Was the public?
So not the we will get the complaints in to us and we'll send it to the police department and the police
officer. The charter says that the public works director is in charge of all sidewalks, but I don't know if it was for this.
Yeah, no, we're gonna have the police department do it. The police department's gonna go.
Very good.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. 8.3, 2026 revaluation, proposed phase in of new valuations presented by Finance Director Brian Hall. Discussion of possible action, right?
Hello, everyone. Brian Hall, the Finance Director here at the City of Derby. Section 12-662C of the Connecticut General Statutes permits a municipality by local option to phase in all or portion of real property assessment increases resulting from a revaluation over a period of up to 5 years. Well, that's the statute that we're going to talk about this evening. I'm proposing we do this for Derby, as we've talked about. Assessment values are up almost 61% across the city. There are a lot of impacts of that. And I think phasing in is a very responsible approach. You know, the phase-in allows us to gradually absorb these property value increases, prevents a sudden tax increase, and will, you know, help promote budget stability over the next 5 years. It's going to protect the state aid. This is really important. As many of you know, we're way above the motor vehicle cap tax rate, which at that point, the state will kick in a lot of aid to cover us, almost $1.2 million. My projections would be that we would drop below that cap if we were not to phase this in, which means not in this particular, not this budget year, but the next budget year, we would go from 1.2 million to zero for the, you know, until potentially another revaluation or until at which point the mill rate rises above that cap again. You know, this is, like I said, it avoids an abrupt tax shift between the residential, commercial, and the business taxpayers. As I've said before, the personal property, that did not go up anywhere near 60%. It's probably up 10%. So those folks and all those businesses are going to see decreased taxes. And this will allow us to, you know, obviously at the expense of the homeowner. So rather than doing all of that at once, now you just slowly, gradually lower the taxes for the businesses and slowly raise the taxes for the residents. Again, also not only resulting in time, but less overall dollars that the residents are going to have to pay over that period of time. I've got some examples on the next slide of, you know, what this could look like numerically for everyone. Now, this particular example assumes, you know, each year I'm solving for the exact same revenue, exact same tax revenue. So it's certainly, let's say, a utopia scenario. We know there are going to be some other expenses, and it's not going to exactly work out like this. But That said, I'm trying to remove as many variables as possible so everybody can just kind of understand the nuts and the bolts of how the math's going to work and why this is important and how we're going to see these potential savings. So at the top section, and this first one is the five-year phase-in, you're phasing it in 20% each year for the five-year period. So we're starting where we are today at 25-26 with these assessed values after exemptions for real estate, personal property, and motor vehicle. We're currently at the 43.2 mil rate, motor vehicle cap tax rate 32.46, rounded up to 30.5. So that's, you multiply all those pieces by the mil rate and you get to the $37.3 million in tax revenue. So that's our starting point. If we slowly phase it in, what's that allow us to do? We're going to bring the mill rate down. The mill rate would go from 43.2 in this case to 38.5, still above that cap rate, so you don't lose all of the state aid at once. And again, it's kind of a year delay, but you know it'll drop in the following years. The personal property change is again slowly kind of going down over time. And overall, again, you keep solving for it. What you'll see is the percent change in real estate is 0.2%, right? It's actually going to go down. So that allows you in that first year to not have to burden any of the residential homeowners with any kind of a tax increase related to the reval. Now, there may be other things that are going to happen, and we'll talk about that in the budget, upcoming budget cycle. But all other things being equal, if we were to do this, there would have been no impact to tax to homeowners in the first year. Now, the second year, yes, it's going to go up a little bit at 1.4, then 1.1, 1.6. And eventually, when the mill rate goes down from 43.2, 38.5, and so on, all the way down to 28.2 in the last year. All the while solving for the same tax revenue numbers along the way. Likely, this is a, let's say, from a state aid perspective, this is the worst case scenario, because obviously if we do end up having to have to not be able to come down this far because we have other expenses that we need to cover for increases, well, then that mill rate's going to be a little bit higher. Well, then I'm going to get a little bit more state aid along the way too. So the least amount of state aid that you can kind of recover is here, likely it's going to be even more than this. If we compare that now to the no phase-in scenario on the next page, you'll see the same numbers on the top, all right, except for what happens is all of a sudden where I was in year 30-31, I'm now there in 26-27. And so that mill rate is going to drop right away to kind of the 28.3 range, well below the motor vehicle cap. So now what's going to happen is now personal property is going to come way down, right? I'm not going to collect anywhere near the same amount of tax. It's going to come down almost 27%. But somebody's got to pay for that, and it's going to end up being the residents at almost 4.7%. And then eventually the next year, well, now all that state aid's disappeared. So now you've got to cover that. So now the residents have, again, another big increase, 2.5%. After that, it kind of starts to normalize out for the residents. You know, on the phase-in, you saw that it was kind of vice versa. The increases kind of come more gradually toward the back half, when obviously you've got more time to grow your grand list, to do other things to try to find those offsets. I can tell you right now, in 26-27, we don't have any kind of levers to pull to figure out how to offset this for the residents, not this year and likely probably not in the following year. So, it would be a very big impact right away for residents in the next couple of years if we don't phase this in. Lastly, just to really drive it home on the comparison summary, is again, all things we talked about, right? Phasing allows me to allows us to collect additional state aid over $1 million between the two scenarios. One was 3.4 million, 2.3 in the no phase in scenario. And like I said, that's likely going to be low because the reality is we're going to be a little bit higher on this in mill rates. And so we're going to collect more in state aid along the way. a portion of the tax reduction that would otherwise go to business tax reduction for personal property, and even motor vehicle taxes at that point, because you've dropped even below the cap. And so now everybody's motor vehicles are going to come down for a lot of the renters, and some of the residents too. But now that all goes back to the homeowners, and that's about $3.7 million that's going to end up back in the pockets of the homeowners. They're not going to have to absorb these increases in taxes over that period of time. Instead, it will just stay with the businesses, and the same people that are, in motor vehicles will continue to pay the same thing. And I think it's important to understand this is not that the businesses were going to get increased taxes. Now they were going to get decreased taxes. And now we're saying, we're going to pull some of that back. It's still going to be lower for them, but just not as low and not as quick as if you don't do it. And then we've got, real quickly, the different increases by year comparison. So lastly, like I said, just to summarize, those are the key points. We can gradually adjust this mill rate down over time, buys us more time to try to grow the grand list in other ways through new business and new initiatives. It helps us maximize the amount of state aid that we're going to get. And again, helps out the residents, which is great. I think it's going to be absolutely needed. This was a big increase this year. It's not every 5 years you go up 60%. I think with COVID, it's just really unusual. So, we have to adjust and do something that's, maybe not something that's been done before and wouldn't normally do, but these are different times and, we have to look at all our options.
Well, Brian, this takes us up to the next reevaluation.
Correct.
If it's done in 5 years. I don't see it. We have much of a choice. We couldn't hit them like that. So seems to be a good plan to me.
No, I agree. Any questions for Brian?
I have just a couple, Brian. This 5-year plan at 20% each year, have there been 3 or 4 year plans considered at all? And, have we really looked at which model will maximize the benefit?
Yeah, I did run a 4-year scenario, and obviously the 5-year scenario, spreading it out is the most beneficial. You have time. Really just I wanted to confirm that we had the 5 years from the state that's what our next reval is. So I think you certainly can do it shorter, but then a lot of the benefits, everything we talked about, just become less.
Right. In this one, am I reading it correctly that in year 3, we're at the cap, so we would not be getting that extra state aid for the motor vehicles. So, or is there a 5-year scenario where we're doing 30%, 30%, 20, 10, 10? I don't know if.
Yeah, if you do that, then this 3 years gets shortened. So then it's more like 2 years or 1.5 years before, because the more you shrink it, the quicker you're going to get below that cap rate. So, and as I said, I really think while this is showing it going down by 29-30, if you just have to add 1 mil per year, which is less than 2%, right, of a tax increase each year, if I have to keep adding 1 mil, 1 mil, 1 mil, you're still going to actually be above that cap rate by the time you get to 29-30. So what we should end up seeing, like I said, is more of this state aid line filling in as we get to the, what I'll call reality, right? Which is we're not going to be able to solve for the same exact tax revenue. There's going to be things that we're going to, need to try to fund.
So definitely 3-4 years is not
it's not as beneficial if you know when you're looking at trying to get as much state aid as possible and defer some of these shifts from small, you know, from businesses to residents.
Okay.
Right. So if we're trying to get more state aid, can you change the percents? Can you do 10%, 10% so that we could get another year after? Or is that?
Well, the minimum, the state, you have to do at least 20%. That's okay. The lowest you can go. So to Sarah's point, you could do more. You could do it in 4 years and do 25%, or you could do, you know, 33%, but you're just hurting, but you cannot do lower than 20.
Yeah, the statute doesn't let you go less than 20%, as Brian said.
I mean, sort of bottom line, doing this, though, we get over $1 million in state aid that we won't get if we don't do this.
Correct.
I know that there's, you know, other municipalities in the state that have done this. Have there been any conversations with them to see what has worked, what hasn't, what they would have changed, or, you know, anything?
I mean, there's certainly, and Betsy can speak to it, you know, there is an administrative burden to doing this, no question. You know, and Betsy, you can speak a little bit to it, but at the end of the day, you know, we've discussed it, right? It's important for the taxpayers. You know, we're going to do whatever we got to do, regardless of the potential extra efforts. I don't know if we're talking any kind of material cost. I know I'm going to need to get a new computer to kind of house some of the data so that it's clean. And we, as each year changes, we're updating it and we can provide all the right information back to the state. So, you know, again, very, you know, a few little extra costs, but it's, like I said, mostly I think it's going to be just a kind of administrative burden on the team, as far as handling this, handling questions and things like that. So, you know, not something that I think folks do lightly and oftentimes why it doesn't happen at all. Right. But, Betsy's been very helpful in this process and she's willing to, you know, roll up her sleeves and put some extra effort in to make sure that we can execute on this.
So I can elaborate a little bit on what your question might have been. There are municipalities that no matter what their increase is, they always phase in. West Hartford, the municipality I grew up in, they do a phase in 50%, 50%, no matter what. Torrington just went through a reval this year and their mill rate, their assessments went up over 100%. So they are enacting a phase in. So to offset the huge challenge that they're facing. Milford is also going through a phase in this year. So being somewhere local to us, and they doing it as well because they saw, a mammoth increase like we did.
Hamden as well, right, Betsy? I know they.
Yeah.
They also are phasing in.
But I think they were last year.
Yeah, last year they did their phase in after the. Like I said, this is a unique time for all these Connecticut municipalities. With the assessment, the increases are not like they've seen, you know, in long, long time. So,
Betsy, with your experience with them, what are some of the pros and cons that you've encountered?
So I have never done phase-in in 36 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I am actually leaning on my assessor counterparts to aid me and assist me so that I can make sure that I successfully pull it off in Derby.
Okay. And to Betsy's point regarding the municipalities that do a phase in no matter what, if we were not losing this motor vehicle money, we would not, you would, or I guess that the question is, would you be recommending a phase in?
I mean, I would bring I would have bring the option to you. I would have laid out the data, and I would let you make the decision. But obviously, at that point, it's just a shift between, personal property coming down and businesses getting a tax break versus residents funding that, and whether you decided you want to do that just for that purpose alone. I also think the severity of it is also important, right? If this was a 10% increase, maybe even if there was some kind of tax increase, you may say, we don't want to do this. But I think the combination of the two factors, the 61% increase, and is just too much. But look, it's my responsibility to show you all the options, some of which you will shoot down and some of which you may like. So, but important that you at least
Just in
get a chance.
comparison, when we went through reval in 2020, our change was 24%. So you're seeing a huge increase in just a small part of him. So
Ryan, what's the budget for the city of Derby right now for the year? You know what it is offhand?
We're about 52 million, probably trending toward that number.
$52 million. All right. So we're only bringing in 37 million in revenue. All right, where's the difference?
The other 15 million coming from that's usually a lot of the state aid, right? So we're going to get 7 million from ECS funding, but it's you get some money from pilot programs, 1.4 million. So it's generally state aid. There are some other revenue sources we have, town clerk receipts, permits, fees, and things like that all get us to that $52 million number. But you're right to call those things don't move generally, right? I mean, you can get a little bit more, a little bit less, but that's the other problem is you're trying to solve for a number with, I'm not sell I don't have 52 million, I've got the 37. And so the increases seem a lot more dramatic when you have to try to find all of your tax revenue on that smaller number.
So the plan is so it's 52 million this year. It could be 56 million next year. 58, it goes up, right? Your budget goes up every year,
It goes up.
correct?
Correct.
So now you're still the our river is still going to be at 37 million. So every year. So now we're short 15. So maybe 2 years we're short 17, and then 2, 3 years we're 19, 20. So I mean it doesn't, like I've said, where are we going to get this extra money at? It's you got to get it somewhere. We're trying to give the residents a break here, on the on the taxes. So I mean, the 5 year phase in, or a 4 year or 3 year phase in, would we have to look at, in my opinion, because we're not meeting the goal of financing the city. I mean, union contracts, I know $150,000for medical, everything is going up, it goes up every year. So I don't know how we're going to find this money. And I'm also, I'm not for doing the all the way down to 28 in 1 year and give our residents, the tax bill, like unbelievable tax bill, probably double. So I don't know if there's a happy medium, but I just want to put everybody on notice is that if the total revenue is staying the same for 5 years, and our city budget is going up every year, something's got to give somewhere. So, I mean, I don't know if you have an answer for that. I mean, the pilot program we get for Griffin Hospital, which is 1 point something million, really.
Before, yeah, well, exactly. And again, remember, this was I created this scenario of the flat 37 so that we didn't have too many moving pieces. But the likelihood, as I said, as you pointed out, is I'm going to have to solve for some extra money. I don't think it's as extreme as you're talking about, but if it's $1 million, which is likely what we're facing this year, that's a little over a mil, right? Historically. So you could add in 26, 27, maybe this isn't 28.3, it's 29.3. The following year, maybe I got another mil. So now it's not 28.9, it's 30.9, right? So, I mean, that's where it's going to come from. It's going to come back in this mil rate eventually. It's just going to allow us, one, is to spread that out, to still continue to get state aid, because again, at that
Right.
point, you're going to get even more. So it's going to come from the mil rate. It's ultimately got to come from the residents. It's the administration, the mayor, my job to keep that number as low as possible. But like you said, healthcare is going up every year and there's contractual expenses. The $1 million this year that we're probably looking at, or hopefully less once the mayor and I sit down and scrub a little bit more, less than 2%. So I mean, you're gonna expect some increase. I think the days of just, well, we'll never raise this again isn't going to be happen. But if we can only raise it 2%, or call it 1 mil, that's we're doing pretty good. So that would be the goal. Try to mend that in, like you said, in this phase-in scenario. These are definitely probably not realistic. I agree with you, but I don't think we're talking about giant numbers growing. I just wanted to lay out almost like the worst case for you for the motor vehicle crap. Like, no matter what, you're going to save a million if you do this. You're probably, to your point, going to save more because that mill rate's going to be higher. So maybe it's closer to 2 million you're going to end up getting in state aid when it's all said and done. And that'll cover some of it, right? It's not going to cover all of it, but it'll help.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just add a little bit to that? I think that your argument is legitimate, and I think what Brian is presenting is the alternative to saying to the taxpayers, we're going to make this whole, we're going to be budget savvy, and we're going to do it all in one shot. And those who had the biggest increases will have to bite the bullet. So by doing the phase in, I think he's trying to ease the burden a little bit over time. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
Brian, this is Rob Heider. Not to throw a wrench in the mix, but I'd like to consider revisiting the Homestead Act. At some point later this year, so we have some more time to review that and to help the homeowners who've invested their primary residences, those who lay their heads down at night in our community. So, I know that's gonna, I know you already said you need a new computer, so make sure you get one.
Sure, Rob. I think the reality is that involves a lot more execution, a lot more effort, letters, time. That was, I think, really why we ended up with that special meeting a few weeks ago, is just to try to get, if we were going to do it, we needed to do it. We already need to already be into it. But that said, it is absolutely something that can be revisited, call it for next year, and then adjust there forward, right? So so we can absolutely bring that back to the table. But I think for this year, there's just, we're not going to have the time to try to actually execute on that.
Yeah, no, I understand that for this year, but I just wanted to make sure that that was still on the table and at our forefront of our thinking, that it is a possibility for potentially for next year.
Sure. Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to bring all the options to you, and you all can decide what you want to do.
Thanks, Brian.
And for tonight's topic, when does this need to be voted on? Is there expected to have a vote for tonight, or is what when is good for you? when does this need to happen for the tax board and whatnot?
We had to delay the certification by 30 days in order to fit this in for February. I don't know if technically we could go. We might be able to delay it one more month, but realistically, if this is something we want to do, you know, from especially from a budget perspective, right? Because if I don't know this answer, how does the mayor give a budget presentation in 2 weeks, right? So I would like it voted on today one way or the other, just so we can move forward with the budget and start to get that done.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion, or what's the pleasure of the board?
Motion for
5-year
phase-in.
Motion made by Ron Sill. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dave Chevrella. Any discussion?
I guess my only question is, does there need to be more detail in the motion? Based on...
I'm just saying 5-year phase-in, everything that's on that sheet. So I'll include that presentation of the 5-year phase-in and everything it entails on plan.
Jeff, you good with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 9, old business, no action. 10 and 11 were deleted. 12, round adjournment.
To adjourn at 7:51.
All right. Maybe Ron, is there a second? Second, Amy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.